Okay, I'm testing. Blah, blah. It looks normal. Okay, I guess it's normal.
Whoa. It's like we practiced for this or something.
We did. 4,000 times since 2005.
I was going to say, how many hundreds or thousands of episodes did it take for us to get it right on the first time?
Peter of Nicolades, I have something that you'll be very excited by.
Scott of Wheel C, I have something that you would probably only drink if you were desperate.
Oh, this is a non-alcoholic beer.
Oh, not even that.
Oh, it's Kool-Aid. Grape Kool-Aid.
Oh, I wish it had that much flavor.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Okay, I'm waiting.
Friends with brews.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, and this.
Hi, Peter.
No, I'm kidding. I won't do that again.
Okay, great. Well, great to be here.
You are Peter. I am Scott. That is the intro.
That much we know. And yeah, what are you drinking tonight, Scott?
Okay, I am having a Monkless Belgian Ales. That is the brewery. Monkless Belgian Ales. And right on the top, it says Belgian tradition minus the monks. But this is a, you pronounce this for me, Schleppekofigen.
Huh? Schleppekofigen.
Schleppekofigen. Anyway, this is a Belgian. I sound like Belgian. I'm from Kentucky. It's a Belgian-styled wheat beer brewed with spices.
That sounds delicious.
It is good, and my wife even liked this. And my wife doesn't like a lot of the beers that I get, but she does prefer the wheats and lighter beers. And so this one is quite good. She stole one of mine. She told me she was going to, and I gave her permission. So it wasn't really stealing, but...
It was good enough for your wife to steal. Okay.
That's my record. Oh, I should put that on the webpage.
You should.
Good enough for my wife to steal.
Good enough for your wife to steal.
Okay, so that's me. So what about you? What is your disgusting, not even if I was desperate?
Hop water.
Oh.
Hop water. H-O-P-W-T-R. It is a sparkling hop water crafted with adaptogens and nootropics.
Okay, you've mentioned this before. You've talked about this. You said it was a thing.
It's a thing. So it opens like a beer, but it pours kind of like a soda. And I don't know what this is supposed to be. I'm going to take a... It's like a club soda.
Yep.
With some kind of flavor that is not beer.
Okay. So it's not disgusting. It doesn't taste like a bad, weak IPA with too much hops then.
No, it tastes like a club soda with something else, with adaptogens and nootropics.
Listen, that's actually better than I thought it was going to be, okay?
Yes.
All right. Oh, this is good stuff. You can definitely taste the spices. I wonder what the spices are. Let me see here if I can... I'm in the dark again. Hey.
Coriander, cinnamon...
It just says packed full of...
Spices.
Our refreshing wheat beer is... brewed with fresh orange zest and coriander.
I said coriander, didn't I?
Yeah, citrus flavor and balanced spice.
Okay.
It says it is proof that not all Belgian-style beers have to be big in alcohol, only in flavor.
And that's true. Like, I think Stella Artois is probably the... Or is it Artois? I don't know. If it's French, it would be Artois, but...
Artois,
yes. That's not super high alcohol. That's like 5% or something.
Yeah, so, this is 5.4, so...
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't call it extremely low.
But the Belgians I generally, the Belgians I have are usually like 8 to 9 or so. But yeah, compared to 0.
This is high compared to your Costa Rica friends.
Or my 0% hopter.
That's okay. But this tastes really good today because it's been quite warm here, I must say.
Well, the reason I am having this and not a beer is because I just had a beer with dinner. About an hour ago.
I see.
Because I didn't get any invite tonight, and I was like, I almost messaged Scott and said, hey, are we not recording tonight? Because Scott's been pretty adamant about like wanting to get on a regular schedule, and I've been pretty like, look, I'll do it when I can. And then I was like, maybe did he get up? Did he just quit on me? Did he just like, F it, that's it, we're done? Or, and then I looked at my phone, and sure enough, there were messages from you citing this non-existent invite. So.
Well, I just want you to know my suicide note's going to say, damn it, I'm just tired of getting people to podcast with me.
clink, clink.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Yes.
So there you go. Two brews.
And I must say, I appreciate the fact that even though you didn't get an invite, once I did send you something that you saw, and once you caught up with your messages, you responded immediately. And I appreciate that. I really do.
I was like, 30 minutes. Let's do it. 30 minutes or less. Take that, Domino's.
I would have been totally cool with you saying, dude, I can't, because I started to realize I don't think Peter got that invitation, even though I sent it the same way I've always sent it. I guess it didn't go. So, yeah. Anyway.
But here you are. I made some predictions. I made some promises last week, and I didn't really make promises last week. I threw stuff out there.
No, you did.
I threw out some hints.
Uh-uh, Peter.
I didn't promise we were going to do it this week. I said in a future episode.
Peter, you made binding vows.
I solemnly swore.
Oh, here we go. Woo, that's going to need some bottles. No, but you said something about looking at AutoGPT versus AgentGPT or vice versa.
Correct.
And you said something looking at Evernote versus Notion or vice versa. And
correct.
You're not ready to give us your conclusions and tell us what your system is going to become. But I thought what we could do is try to find out from you, what is your intended purpose for each of these? Why have you picked the ones to look at that you are going to look at? And maybe give a little bit of history on the Evernote thing too, because you and I have talked about Evernote forever, but chances are a lot of our listeners haven't been through each of our painful podcasts that we've had throughout the centuries.
We've talked about it for Evernote.
Yes, for Evernote.
So why don't we start there? So yeah, we've used Evernote. I've been an Evernote user since, I believe, 2008, if not sooner. I can find that out.
Oh, I was going to say since 1969, but that was a Eagles song.
Nope.
Sorry.
Nope. But I can find out by going into my notes in Evernote and just going all the way to the bottom, sorting by date created. And going all the way down to my first note.
How come you can't ask Elephant GPT what your first note was?
Which is funny, because it's funny you mention that, because I have notes that were created in 1969. Obviously, the dates are screwed up on that.
Did you write the lyrics for the Eagles?
No, but that is hilarious, because I have a note that claims it was created on December 27th, 1969, which... it obviously was not.
No.
So something happened there. But what I do have, my welcome to Evernote note. So when you first sign into Evernote, they would, I don't know what they do it anymore, but they would create, you know, a welcome note.
Right.
And it has a date on it of June 11th, 2008.
Did you get the stuffed elephant?
I did not get a stuffed elephant. But I've been an Evernote user since, for holy cow, that's 15 years, isn't it?
It's a long friggin' time, yeah. You know what? I will be honest right now. The fact that it's been around that long is actually pretty impressive, given the last few years that elephant's been limping along.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But every now and then, like, it seems like every year, sometimes more often than that, sometimes it seemed like every week, we would be passing, you know, a tweet or a web article back and forth about how, oh, this is it forever. No, oh, jeez, what
demise.
Are we going to do? Oh, my God. And we have both gone through, you more than me, friends recommending alternative to Evernote. And generally, it's because people just don't get it. They don't get our use cases for, you know, or at least my use case for Evernote. So for me, Evernote has been this gigantic file repository. I have had all kinds of integrations. This thing has been archiving my tweets for more than a decade. Yeah, I've had like any appointment, anytime an appointment starts in my calendar, it would create an Evernote entry. You know, I use it as a file storage because we compared this back to like Dropbox years ago. Mm-hmm. One thing that's different is Evernote limits you by how much you can ingest every month, but there's no cap on how much you can store.
By ingest, Peter means upload.
Upload.
Ingest into the system.
Ingest. Yes, you can just tell it jokes on the way in.
You could put the sum total of human knowledge in there if you live long enough based on how much you can upload per month. And of course, you can upload more per month if you're paying, and now all their paid plans are different than they used to be, et cetera, yada, yada.
Exactly. So, you know, I have all kinds of things. Like I have interview questions that I had from this guy that I interviewed back in time. I have recipes for all kinds of things. I have calls for interviewing a new accountant, how to enable PHP on Mac OS X Leopard.
Oh my God.
Right? All kinds of stuff, right? So just, you know, like backup procedures. How do you back up this machine? You know, all kinds of things.
How do you back up a Tesla?
And again, and those are all from the first years that I had this in there. So, you know, there's a lot of memories there, a lot of stuff. I have a bunch of integrations and a lot of things in there. Now, the encryption on Evernote was something that we lamented for the longest time. It was really weak.
It was weak at best, and it couldn't be used in multiple circumstances.
Right. And I don't even know if that ever changed, right? I've been pleading the probably not great card of, well, I don't put anything sensitive in there, but let's be honest. There's enough data in there that, you know, if you aggregate everything that's in there, you've got a mountain of stuff, right? There's tons and tons of data that you could do with on me on there, right?
Sure. Because you and I tended to put all kinds of documents, reference material in there, including things like receipts, including things like manuals, including things like,
sure,
you know, probably some non-sensitive work-related stuff, things like that. So,
right. Lots of stuff is in there. And in given enough time, you know, that's enough data that, you know, could be useful. Let's just put it that way. So we have, you know, looked at other stuff. And again, it's not just a note-taking app. It hasn't been for me for a long time.
No. In fact, I will say that actual note-taking was the least of how I used Evernote. I mean,
yeah,
there would be a lot of things that looked like text notes, but they were like web articles. They were,
yes,
you know, pieces of information for things that had to be done, reference material, that kind of stuff. So yeah, there were some notes, but a lot of it really wasn't just me writing down notes, talking about how I felt that day.
Honestly, what Evernote is for me is it's my own personal search engine.
Yes.
It's my personal database of whatever.
The filing cabinet metaphor is a good one. And in fact, I still use that to this date because I use a combination of Apple Notes and Obsidian. And even in, actually, I'm moving my filing cabinet to Obsidian, but I actually have a folder called filing cabinet where I just dump all kinds of random web articles and stuff like that in. That fulfills that need now. And I still call it filing cabinet because that's what it is. It's just a random filing cabinet.
Yep.
And then I have other more hierarchical, carefully ordered stuff that's reference material for technical things and that kind of stuff.
Right. And over the years, I've tried various ways to get data into Evernote. I don't remember what it was called. I had an electronic notepad. It was
a Newton.
No, you had paper. So you would put an 8x10, a piece of paper.
I remember
and
those.
And you would write, and it had a special pen and a special backdrop. So like it knew where you were, you know, like it would basically do OCR, but it would trace what you were doing. And anything you would draw on paper or write on paper would then show up as a note.
I think we call those iPads now, Peter.
The iPad can do a lot more. I had this, the Rocket Notebook. This is a first one. I have another one downstairs, which I haven't used in months or maybe a year, but you could write these notes and then scan a QR code.
Uh-huh.
And it would take that and import it into your app of choice. Mine was Evernote. Oddly enough, I picked this one up. This was the beta. This was not erasable like the other ones were, right? But if I look at where the destinations were that I could send from my Rocketbook, the first three were all Evernote notebooks, Dropbox, and email, and OneNote. Those were where I had this configured. And I look at the last note that I had in this Rocketbook notebook. It says something about ban Equifax, roommate, not speeding in reverse.
That's old.
Amazon, Canada, client doing it wrong.
But not as old as speeding in reverse. A client is always doing it wrong, Peter. You fired all your clients, don't forget.
So I don't know what the hell I was thinking about when I was taking those notes. But anyway, this is an ancient notebook that I have that once fed into Evernote.
Oh, speaking of that, not knowing what you were thinking about when you wrote those notes, that reminds me of some a fascinating subject of some hallucinogens that I want to talk about at some point in time. But anyway,
put it on the backlog. But then, you know, with Apple Notes, I understand they've started catching up. And I use Apple Notes for when I want to genuinely take notes, like when I'm writing on something. Mm-hmm. Or, frankly, I just use an old school piece of paper, notebook, and a pen, and I go back to the old scan and snap it. And that's one thing where Evernote's scanner application has been quite good.
Yes.
So I still use that. Now, that said, Evernote has been, it's kind of long in the tooth, right? It hasn't really changed significantly in a long time. Feels like the only thing they ever do to change it is they change the user interface around every now and then. So I have to figure out where things moved to. And that's it, right? And they change their pricing structure. They do that every now and then.
Peter, it's kind of rude to look at an elephant and say, why the long tooth? You know those are tusks, right?
Right. I didn't say why the long tusk. So I've been looking at, you know, something else. And for instance, a few years ago, you know, the hospital and when I was at Mimecast, they both used, you know, OneNote as their standard. I was like, well,
yes,
I should probably learn this, right? And I tried to, and oh, dear God, that was horrible.
We use OneNote at work, and it does have some benefits. There are some things that I like about it. And in fact, I also, for work, use Obsidian. I don't use the same notebook as I use for my personal one, but I have an Obsidian notebook, and I started migrating a lot of the stuff that I used to keep in OneNote into Obsidian, work-related stuff. Mm-hmm. But OneNote has some really good advantages. Like, when you're all set up in the Microsoft world,
yes,
and you've got OneDrive and all this, you can easily share your notebooks. You can work on things together with collaboration. They're great for that. What I hate about OneNote is when you start to put your cursor somewhere and it just creates a random box and it's all over the place. Like, it's a freaking mess. I don't know what they're doing.
You use Microsoft 365 at Monolith 3000, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Try using OneNote when it has to live on a file share on a Windows server.
Yeah, no.
Oh, it's horrible. It's a horrible, horrible experience.
Anyway, sorry for the digression, but...
So I start looking into other options, and the ones that came up were Obsidian and Notion. Those are the two that came down to my leads. And
those
what
are the
were
two
my...
that everybody's talking about, so there's no
Bingo.
Surprise that those are the two you heard about.
Exactly, and you're wondering, like, why are those two, Peter? Why? Because that's the two that everyone's talking about. So I was, like, looking at, okay, why is everybody talking about these?
Right.
And I was still in that phase. Now, I did set up a Notion account, and I did check out, like, what is it going to take to migrate from Evernote to Notion?
Mm-hmm.
And not much. The answer is not much. Now, my concerns. I have two current concerns with Notion. Let's see, three current concerns. I need to double check their security and see what they offer for security. How are the notes encrypted? Are they end-to-end encrypted? Can, say, Obsidian staff or then a hacker, you know, decrypt my notes and access them? That kind of question. That's one question I have to ask. Number two, what's it going to take to migrate from Evernote to move all my stuff over? That much I know already. That was answered easily because you open up Notion, you can just say import, you choose Evernote, you link your Evernote account, it sucks it all over. And what I really like about this is it's not going through my computer to do this. So my PC, my laptop, my ISP, whatever is not the bottleneck. So I can just say, do it, and it does a cloud sync by API. Brilliant. Love it.
Basically, some dude at Notion gets hired to hack a Evernote and get your stuff.
Right. Yep. Some guy has to manually copy everything one note at a time. And then the final bit, though, is... And this is only a feature that I just realized that I used pretty much by accident. Evernote does OCR on attachments.
It does.
And it will scan inside attachments if you have the paid version.
Very nice.
There have been numerous times I've been searching for something and gotten the result in a PDF that I just threw in there. Because again, this is like my bookshelf. It's my file. It's a bucket. It's a cluster. And I found books that I was looking. I was like, oh, I didn't even realize that one day, like 6 years ago, Pact.com was having a sale or they were giving away books, you know, for like, here's our free book today on SQL Server, and it just happens to be what I was looking for, and boom, there it is in my Evernote. That's great.
Do you know how many times I've done a search for a book and then found out I've already purchased it? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you purchased this 7 years ago. Oh, great, thanks. So that's a thing that I actually turns out, okay, I use this. And then the fourth thing, so out of those two features, number four would be easily moving Apple Notes into it, right? Essentially, what I want is I want to be able to use Apple Notes as my interface, my user interface. Oh. I want to be able to take Apple Notes, jot it down, and have it stored somewhere else. And why do I want it stored somewhere else? For the simple fact that I don't want to be tied to the Apple ecosystem. If I find myself contracting somewhere, or you know, on a Windows box somewhere, or at my dad's place on his Linux box, I want to be able to get access to my notes in a pinch. Now, I suppose I could do that. I don't remember. Can I do that in iCloud? I don't even remember. Is Notes available in iCloud? Maybe it is, like a stripped down version. I don't even know right now. But I want to be able to run an app like wherever I am, just to have that integration when I want it. I also want something that's going to integrate with services like Ift or Zapier or other automations that I can run, you know, on it. So that's what I'm looking at. And so far, you know, again, I haven't dug into the Notion security question. I saw some stuff that seemed a little like, oh, you know, we'll somewhere someone, it might've been even just like a Reddit post. I don't remember where I read it, but it was like, we won't access your stuff without your permission or something. And I was like, that sounds like you could access my stuff anytime you wanted to. And that's a little concerning, right? And then I have seen people have written, like, their open source projects on GitHub, where people have written Python scripts to migrate your notes to Notion. Okay, so that's possible, but I have to play with it to see what it's going to look like. And I saw someone wrote a Notion add-on, which lets you add a tag at the bottom of a note, and that enables OCR.
Oh.
Well, here's the problem. I have 15 years of back notes. I don't want to have to go back through and edit every single one of them to add a tag to enable OCR scanning.
Does Notion have the idea of markdown files the same way that Obsidian does?
I believe it does. I believe it supports markdown.
Obsidian is just markdown files in a file system, somewhere in mm-hmm. a file system. Where in the mm-hmm. file system you decide if you want to sync it between computers, you can stick it in your iCloud account if you want to or whatever. So if that's the case, you could probably whip together some kind of script that goes through and dumps it in. The problem for you probably is, which ones is it going to OCR?
Yes. And so, yeah, moving forward, I can enable OCR. That's great. But moving backwards, I only could OCR stuff that's in Evernote or that I know to find in Notion. Here's the thing. I don't want to pay for Evernote and Notion. So as soon as I stop paying for Evernote, I lose OCR. So, you know, I have to find some way to do that if I really want to preserve that function. The other concern that I have is duplicates. Notion doesn't seem to have a way to handle duplicate notes or duplicate pages, as they call it. That means I need to, you know, I can play with Notion for a while, get the hang of it, and then I have to, one day, I have to make the core, you know, a demark. I have to cut from Evernote and stop using it because I can't do a little bit here and a little bit there. If I take some notes in Notion now and then I go back to adding stuff in Evernote, if I re-import, I get a whole new page duplicating everything that's happened in Evernote.
Well, the problem with that is not so much the fact of duplicates itself. It's that Evernote and Notion are probably, even if everything inside that note was seemingly identical, they're still going to be different mm-hmm. probably. And so you,
but that's fine.
You can't write, what I'm saying is you can't write a document comparison script. Because they're going to be different as far as the script is concerned.
Right. But I see the problem is that Notion doesn't have a way to deal with duplicates.
Right. But what I'm saying is it would be difficult to dedupe something that wasn't originally imported from Evernote. Because when you import it from Evernote to make the comparison, they're not going to be identical, even if they look identical to you. Some format thing, something is going to be different in there. There's going to be an extra line. There's going to be some difference to where it just can't dedupe it. It'll look very similar, but it's going to be different as far as most deduping algorithms are going to go.
Let me explain my use case. So I have a notebook in Evernote with a note in it, and that note just says, "Hello world," right? I import that in. Now I start working in Notion. I don't touch that note again. I don't touch that note. So it remains unchanged. If you take a hash of that note now and a hash of it after I import it again, it's the same. I haven't touched that note, but I made a bunch of other notes in that notebook or that page, as Notion refers to it. Now I decide, you know what? I like this work I've done in Notion. I don't want to lose it. But I also made changes back in Evernote because I was doing a little bit in here and a little bit in there. Now I want to re-import it. I do that. I now have two copies of that same note.
Are you talking about a merge or a...
No, I'm talking about I run import again. It does not merge. That's the thing. That's the point.
No, that's what I'm saying.
It doesn't do a merge.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Merge. You actually need a merge more than a dedupe, sounds like.
Whatever. Call it what you want. A merge is going to do the same thing. The end result is you get one copy of duplicated. You know, if you have multiple copies of the same note, you end up with one. And Notion doesn't seem to have a concept of that.
Right.
So that's a problem. So that means I have to be very selective. I have to either do all my work in a new Notion page, and then once I decide, okay, that's enough, I'll import it all over, which I guess is probably the way to do it. Like, so I have a paradigm page, I'll just make a paradigm Notion page or something and do all the work there. And then once I'm done, I can re-import from Evernote and then merge all the stuff over myself. That's one way to do it.
To be honest, I think it's fair enough that Notion punted on that one, because that's a hard problem to solve. Because
duplicates?
Findings... Yeah. In that case, for importing stuff, and then it's... Because the way you described it is, you're taking something, and then you're actually writing in the same note other stuff.
No, that's not what I'm describing. That's not what I'm describing.
You said a sheet, as Notion describes it. A sheet or a note.
Notion describes a sheet as Evernote. Notion calls a page what Evernote calls a notebook.
Okay.
Let's just use the Evernote terminology. I have a notebook, I have multiple notes in it, and I have duplicates of them. I just want to be able to remove duplicates. That's all. Who cares how they got there?
Let me ask you this. In the Notion world, when you look at those individual notes in the individual notebook, which is what they call a page, do they all appear at the same time in different sections on that page, or do you look at one individually of the others?
If I do an import, what happens is a new...
Just if you make something in Notion.
If I make something in Notion, okay, let's just do this. I'm going to go to my personal home, and I'm going to make something new. Okay, so I'm making a new page. It's called test. All right, what do you want me to do with it now?
Well, the page is the equivalent of the folder, so now make some equivalent of notes.
Okay, I'm doing that.
And are they all visible on the same page when you go to look at that page, or do you look at them individually the way you would look at notes in a folder in Evernote individually? Do you see what I'm saying?
I don't see what you're saying. I'm not following.
Okay, when you say the word page, I think of something that has different sections that you scroll through. And they're all there visible in that page. When you open that page, you see everything that's in that page.
Okay.
Is that how it is in Notion? When you look at documents that are in a page, quote, do you see all of them at the same time and you just keep scrolling until you've read them all?
You can expand, like you can have a list view where you see all of the different subpages in a page.
Including their content?
You can enable gallery view where you see them all, but they show up as distinct things. Just like when you look at a page or whatever the hell they call it in when you see lots of pages, it's like you see lots of notes. In Evernote. It's the same thing.
Okay.
It's the same thing.
So they are distinct entities.
They're distinct entities.
Okay.
Yes. And again, if I have two of them and they're identical, I think it should be trivial for this thing to just say, delete these things.
It should be, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
If you had one that you imported from Evernote, never, never touched.
Yes.
And then you import everything from Evernote again, including that note. It should be able to look at those two and say these are identical, because it should import it the same way it imported last time. Everything should be identical. It should be able to. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
And again, even if you take Evernote out of the picture, if I just have two notes and they're identical, compare them, delete them. Finding duplicates, that's a solved problem.
Right. But the way you were describing it, what I thought you were doing was importing something from Evernote, adding stuff to it.
Changing it. Right.
Right.
So what I was importing from Evernote, I was adding stuff to the notebook.
Yeah, okay.
I was adding notes to the notebook, so I still have the original notes, and then when I go to re-import those original notes, I now have duplicates of those original notes.
Yeah, there could be a way to deduplicate. But to be honest, I don't think any of the other note/eBrain systems that I've used addresses duplicates that I'm aware of. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. So I guess what I'm saying is it's not great, but it's also not a huge knock against Notion because nobody else is doing that either.
Right. I find that hard to believe that no one has come across that. And it really shouldn't be that big of a deal, you know? I wouldn't, but anyway, hey, there you go. So yeah, that's where I'm at right now. And again, just talking through it, I think I can probably solve this by just doing my work in, you know, like I'll have a paradigm imported folder and a new paradigm folder and I'll work on that. And then when I'm ready, I just, you know, cut the cord. So, but yeah, so, you know, I've poked around with Notion a little bit. It seems pretty powerful, you know, the ability to like start incorporating ret and markdown for an additional, I think additional $8 a month, they give you Notion AI and it can write for you. It's basically integrating GPT right into the app. I don't know if I would use that. I certainly would not pay for that while I'm still paying for ChatGPT. Let me put it that way. Anyway, so that's my take on Notion so far. Again, it's I haven't gotten very far, but you see a little bit of my thought process.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's interesting. That's interesting to me because I zoomed right past Notion and went straight to Obsidian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the main differences are. But the one thing I know about Obsidian is there is a huge world of plugins available for it.
There seems to be that for Notion as well.
Yeah, right. So I don't know.
And, you know, GitHub stuff, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just curious, what is Obsidian's pricing?
I'm not paying anything for
free $25 to buy it and $50 for commercial. So there's a $25 Catalyst one-time payment where you can just buy it and you get some extra stuff. And then, to get sync, that's $8 a month.
Yeah, I don't do the sync because I don't need it. So basically, to me, their iOS clients are kind of useless, I guess. I haven't really used them in a while, though. They might be better now. I only use it on my Mac. And then the version that I use on Windows, that's for my work-related stuff. And I don't need those notebooks to be the same. I don't need any overlap.
Got it.
So for me, that doesn't matter.
You have a very clear separation between work and personal stuff.
Yes.
Right. For me, that blends a lot. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you would probably want sync, yeah.
All right. Cool.
Again, there are ways to do that by sticking it in a shared, you know, synced thing. Like for you to go across Windows, it could be Dropbox. So I guess there's iCloud on Windows now. For me, I have it in iCloud. So theoretically, I can look at it on other devices.
Yep. Theoretically. So, yeah. So that's my rant on my complete lack of progress on Notion.
No, that's fine. And then very briefly, just tell me, very briefly, what is it that you're trying to automate with AutoGPT and AgentGPT? What kind of tasks do you have? Just some examples of some things.
I don't know yet. That's the thing. I'm just trying to find a better GPT than GPT, right? Show me what can this thing do? So instead of me asking, you know, question after question after question, let me just give it a prompt. Like, dude, this is what I want to do. Now go do it. And you may recall, I did play around with AutoGPT about, three, four, five weeks ago or so.
Yeah.
And all I managed to do was rack up like $8 of charges, whereas previously I'd spent like less than $3 in the whole previous month.
Sure.
So, and it was funny because I was looking at it and it's like, it's in a circle. It's asking itself the same question. You know, I had asked AutoGPT pretty much the same stuff that I had been asking ChatGPT to help me write some Python code to download a web page and parse the contents, give a summary, and then give an audio output of it, for instance. And AutoGPT was just like a brand new and, you know, excited intern. It's like, well, first, I'm going to go on, read the web on how to do this and familiarize myself. And oh my God, I'm going to have to download all kinds of frameworks. And I'm going to, well, wait, I need to compare these frameworks. And I need to, I was like, well, yesterday you knew how to write Python and you could just start freaking writing Python. And oh no, I've got to compare these. Well, these have prices and some of these are commercial offerings and some of these had security updates and security flaws. So I need to, and I'm just watching this stuff scroll by and I'm like,
why are you giving me these implementation details?
Hell are you thinking? You know, it's just going on and on.
Here's the question. I totally understand the desire to move beyond asking questions and getting text back to go do something for me.
Yes.
What I'm not so sure about is what the results will be at this point in time. When these things are full of lies, when these things are full of mistakes, when they so often have to be corrected, if you let it start for you and run down the path and then come back with a more finished result, how much more digging are you going to have to do to unearth the problem and fix it?
Bingo. And that's the thing, is it needs supervision, right? And so I maintain that these AIs are still like junior level assistants or programmers. Mm-hmm. They need supervision. You can't just let them, you know, like run amok on their own.
Unlike junior level assistants, because these are large language models and because they're just learning based on other people's writings for the most part, I'm not so sure that they have the ability to understand when they've made a programming error or correct themselves. So unlike the junior intern, they're not going to necessarily get any better over time or become more reliable in one type of programming just because they've become more reliable in another. And I'm not talking about syntax errors that differ from language to language. I'm talking about basic fundamental logic errors that mean the program wouldn't work regardless of which language you put it in.
Yeah, and they don't. I mean, we know they're not self-aware. They don't have a clue. You can refer, you know, to in GPT, you can tell it, like, why did you just tell me, you know, such and such? Or, you know, it'll give you Python code and it'll use, oh, someone gave an example the other day. I don't remember what it was. It was a podcast I was listening to, and this guy was troubleshooting it, and he realized after half an hour he couldn't get this library to work. It's because the AI hallucinated and made up this library that didn't exist.
It does that with books and movies and all kinds of stuff all the time. It just makes stuff up.
Right. So it, you know, not only does it do that, like, it can't even realize that. So you can ask it, like, why did you tell me that, you know, too? And it's like, I'm sorry, as an AI language model, I can't tell you why, you know. It's like, but meanwhile, I heard someone yesterday or this weekend, I was listening to a podcast, I don't remember, and they were talking about, you know, using deterministic AI to manage traffic going to various data centers. And the AI decided to move traffic from one data center to the other. And they're like, oh yeah, it did. We don't know why, but it did. And I was like, this is how Skynet happens, you dolts. Is that you're seriously, you don't know why it's doing it? It's just like, we're going to run it to the other data center. You should know.
A, they should know why. And B, they should at least know, was it the right decision or not? Retrospectively, does there appear to be some reason that it came up with that?
Yeah, but this is the thing. When people say, you know, for instance, like two revelations, like someone posted this week on one of the mailing lists I'm on, AI is not going to take your job. Someone else using AI is going to take your job. So that's one thing. And then the other part is, yeah, I don't think AI is what's going to kill us. It's going to be our blind trust in AI is what's going to kill us.
People are going to do stupid things with AI. Bad things will happen. And depending on what kind of companies and or what kind of government organizations use them, bad things can happen to people because other people trust what the AI is telling them, and then they come and get you, or some terrible thing happens to you. But anyway, aside from that, yeah, I'm not one of the people that worries that it's going to take a bunch of jobs. It's certainly not going to take writers' jobs, because you and I have both read stuff that we've asked it to create, and it's horrible.
I don't know, man. The writers seem to be...
they've always been afraid. They thought that the Xerox machine was going to kill them.
Right, but also, if you look at some of the crap coming out of Hollywood these days, this is not a ding at the writers. I'm talking about the companies producing this crap. They'll crank anything out.
Yeah, Hollywood... I don't understand Hollywood's... This is a slight tangent. I don't understand Hollywood's, well, end game, if you will, here, because you would think that in response to a lot of competition, people changing the way they view things, people changing where they view things, they would come up with better and better material. Instead, they've turned even harder into the let's just churn out crap and throw poop at the wall and see what sticks methodology. And I don't get it. That's not how to save yourselves in this situation. That's how to prove everybody else was right.
But it seems to be working. That's the thing, man.
Maybe people are getting dumber.
Maybe?
Maybe ChatGPT is the only one going to the movies.
Have you seen Idiocracy? That's a freaking documentary, dude. On that happy note.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where you come to. And I'm very interested in hearing more about both of those topics, honestly.
Yeah, So yeah, I'm curious though, but you know, so I didn't even talk about though Agent GPT. So apparently Agent GPT is a competitor to Auto GPT, but it has a different focus. It's supposedly more user-friendly, and I'm like, okay, good. It's got a UI, you know, it's a web interface versus a library that you, you know, bunch of Python code that you download and build on your own machine. Mm-hmm. That's literally as far as I've gotten as far as that comparison goes. So I haven't really made much progress there either.
Okay. I just wanted to follow up real quickly on the text editor thing, because
Yes. You
asked me a couple things like, what are you using? I think you asked me what I was using on Mac and Windows. I don't think I said it, but I am also using Notepad++ on Windows.
I think you did.
Another one that I use on Mac sometimes, and it's not that great for web development for me, even though it's actually supposed to be written that way, but it doesn't support a lot of the languages and things that I do, and I'm not super familiar with it, but I looked at its open on an FTP server, SFTP server capabilities, and it doesn't seem to be able to support SSH keys.
Hmm.
So it has to use a password, and I don't do that. I have all SSH keys.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but it's called BB Edit. It's by Barebone Software, and the one really cool thing about it is a classic. It's been around for 4,000 years, but it's got... Well, it's been around almost as long as you and I have been podcasting, let's put it that way. But anyway, no, I think it's been a lot longer.
Longer?
Actually. Yeah, it's been around since the 90s, I think.
Oh, yeah, BB Edit, yeah.
But they have a nice regex playground in it, and it's pretty cool for, you know, setting up example text, playing with different regexes, seeing why it's doing what it's doing. That is a pretty cool tool. So I do like it for that. It's not cheap, but every now and then they go on sale. And right now, they have a sale where if you put in a specific code, you can get a single user license for $30. Still not cheap, but cheaper than normal.
Do they do an upgrade if you bought a copy like 15 years ago?
They do have upgrade pricing from previous versions. I don't know what that upgrade pricing is, and I don't know how much it changes depending on what version you've had in the past.
Probably give me like 42 cents off or something.
Let me find the article with the discount code and give it to you, and then you can see if you can apply both the upgrade pricing and the discount code.
Okay.
That was just a follow-up on those. We use Notepad++ at work all the time because it's free. It does a really good job. It's got a lot of good plugins, and it does not interject all kinds of stupid invisible characters in things. And so we can trust it across platforms and on any kind of file that we want.
What kind are you talking about, like /n/rs kind of thing?
Yeah, stuff like that. We've had problems where invisible characters have messed up people's product recipes before.
Oh, yeah.
And these are all XML file looking things.
Got it.
They get hosed and nobody can tell why. And it's like, well, you've got invisible characters here. And that has happened more than once. And so using Notepad++ is a good way to both detect and prevent that from happening in the first place.
Got it.
It's a pretty good tool. It's a pretty flexible, I would not call it an IDE by any means, but for editing files rather than working on a coherent project in a specific programming language, it's a really good tool. And I suppose it does support different programming languages in some ways too, but it's not what I would call an IDE, but it's great for editing files with.
All right.
So that's all.
Well, there you go. So I've decided that I will start using Notion from scratch and only import at a later time from Evernote when I'm ready to. And I will just rename all of my notebooks in Evernote and add the word Evernote to them. And that way I won't have a conflict. Right. I don't even need to do that. I can just import and I'll have two paradigm notebooks when I'm ready to import. And then I can just drag everything over. That's the other thing I do. I think we figured it out. I don't even remember. I got to dig in and check my emails and see if I even have a history of BB Edit. Must somewhere. Barebone Software, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There it goes. I bought version 7.1. Oh, I had a free 7.0 upgrade in 2002. I bought it again in 2003. I got 7.1. Version 8 in 2005.
Yeah, we're now on 14.8.5, so...
8.2 upgrade from version 7. I paid $50 for that, plus $7.95 shipping.
Oh my God.
That was in 2005.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I think normally it's like a $60 product, isn't it?
I don't even know, right? It's, dude, I bought it in, I last bought it in 2005. I don't know.
Okay, I'll go to store. I'll go to individual BB Edit 14, individual licenses $50. So I saved $20 basically.
All right. I see. Yeah, individual $49.95. Buy, download.
And if you upgrade from version 12 or prior, it's $40.
Okay, so they'll still give me $10 off.
Yeah.
If I wanted to.
I don't know if that coupon code can be combined with it or not. Most likely not, because...
Probably not, yeah. But, I mean, I've already, like I said, I'm pretty happy with TextMate right now, you know? I don't think I need anything else at the moment, but...
Yeah, don't spend money, you don't have to.
Yeah, I've got that, and I've got, again, Visual Studio, you know, VS Code, so I don't think I need to change anything at this moment.
If you find yourself doing a lot of regular expressions and you don't necessarily want to constantly ask ChatGPT for regular expressions, you want to test them out yourself and see the changes and see the different elements that do what,
mm-hmm.
then maybe it would be useful for you.
Doesn't Copilot do that yet?
But you have to pay for Copilot.
Oh, that's right. It's not the community edition. I'm sure somebody will write a plugin, though. Someone must have written a plugin by now, you know, that you can expand all these or, you know, extend all of these editors that support plugins. Just give me your API key and pay a few cents and it'll, you know, it'll do your query for you or something.
That is true. I haven't looked for others. I looked for the Copilot plugin and I found that, but I was only mm-hmm. doing a trial and I made sure to cancel that before they wanted to start charging me because I didn't want to pay for Copilot and ChatGPT.
Right. Bingo.
All right. Peter, where in the world can people find us?
You mean besides the obviously right here, because you're listening to this freaking podcast, right?
Yes. Somehow they found us.
Somehow they found us, yes. Well, you can find us at friendswithbrews.com. You can find Scott on Mastodon. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can. You can.
You can. But just go to friendswithbrews.com and click on the friends to get the link to my Mastodon because I don't want Peter to sit here laughing for an hour.
We're just going to say, are we still, is there still a Friends Wabir Pod out there somewhere?
There is a Mastodon account, yeah.
Is it Friends Wabir Pod?
It is at Friends W Brews at APPDOT period NET app.net. So it's at Friends with Brews.
No one's ever going to find that.
Honestly, on most instances, if you just do a search for at Friends with Brews, you'll find it. The search works pretty good for users. What it doesn't work for is topics and subjects and stuff like that on Mastodon so well. But for people, it'll find you.
Oh, hey, did you hear that Twitter has a new CEO?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Is she as bad as Elon?
I don't think she's bad as Elon, but I heard things that I took as not being wonderful. Let's just say she kind of leans in a certain direction that he and other people are known to lean. Let's just put it that way.
There's a lot of leaning is what you're saying.
There's a lot of leaning. Yeah. So
if Elon's a jazz fan, he should rename himself to be Elonious Monk instead of Elon Musk.
Felonious Musk.
Yeah, that's true. Felonious. Okay. Anyway, that's it. That's where you can find us. We're going to, Peter, can you please do the big red button?
Oh, you can absolutely let me push the big red button.
Tell your friends.